Okay, good evening. We continue. We're on class number 27 in the work Da Es Atzmecha. In the Hebrew text, we're on page Kuf Pei. And in the English, we're on page 160. That should be 160. That's right, the second paragraph. We ended on that. It's such a beautiful paragraph. I want to say it again. We're talking about people learning to like people that are different than themselves. We explained that really a person is imprisoned inside his own characteristics, and the only way he can really get beyond the chains of your personality is by meeting people of different personalities and begin to appreciate and develop a little bit of their personality within your personality, and that is what will help you grow. And if we can appreciate that that's really what God wants in us, to become better people, then we would welcome these situations. So he gives a beautiful analogy. We went very quickly in that, so we just want to do that again. Zu Hametzias, this reality that kulam shonim, that everybody's different. Habriya benuya betzura shel shoni, the creation is predicated upon this reality of things being different. Vizelo bigti, and that wasn't just, you know, for nothing. Zelo stam, it's not just the way it happened to be. But that is, but it was specifically done that way. And therefore, adam shlo bona es atzom v'mahalech shel hischabrus im tivi shon mimenu. Person doesn't build himself up through a pathway of joining with other different natures than himself. Mazik lo rak luzulaso, he's not only hurting others. But really the essential understanding of what his own soul is all about, he's hurting himself. He limits himself. It's like a small child who's only 70 centimeters tall. And he takes pills that he won't grow anymore. A short person should not take pills that will not allow him to grow anymore. So, just like we'd never think of doing that, we want to grow physically. So certainly want to grow in the type of personality that we can have. And that only happens by being with people who are different than ourselves. So the person who doesn't want to be with people who are different than him is like the kid who takes pills and says, I don't want to grow. Because the real growth happens from being with other people. So, Adam Mabit al TV Nefesh V'Tofesh Osem Kichayuvim. Person looks at his own nature and he says, these are positive characteristics. Many times the person is correct. He does have some wonderful characteristics. Therefore, he's not prepared to deal with people with different personalities because he thinks this is fine. The refusal to join with other opposite natures, that really is something that constricts and limits the growth of the person. Okay, it really was just finishing up on what we mentioned last week. There's one more page on this topic. We're now at the middle of 160. On the top page, Kuf Pei Aleph. Kasher, ho'odam nevin es ha'dvorim amuk besoch. When a person understands these things deep inside himself, when a person understands that to build his soul, it only comes through connecting with people that are, and forcing yourself to connect yourself with people that are opposite from you. If you understand that, Zuhula Atlat Maschila Kabul Onig Vesimcha, Kashiru Nif Gashbitvar Mavchinlo. Slowly he begins to receive a joy and pleasure when he confronts things that are the opposite of himself. If you understand that that's the only way to grow, so it should make you happy. Not that it's something I have to tolerate. Not something, okay, I'll put up with it. But it's the only way to grow. Right? You have people, you know, the opposite, people who you have children who are short. They want to go to the doctor and take hormone pills so they can grow more. So that's the same thing. You know, we all need to take these hormone pills to grow more, and to grow more by being with people that are different than you. And you begin to appreciate the different qualities that other people have. So, b'tchila kasher adam nifkash im dvar mavchino, initially when a person confronts things that are the opposite of what he wants, no tzaras eslo hisnagdus tivis, he has a natural negative opposition to it. But once he opens up himself, the desire to expand himself, so when he confronts something that's the opposite of him, the nature that's the opposite, he sees a challenge. He sees an opportunity to grow from it. And therefore we should welcome that. So b'meshach yemei chayav, during the course of a person's life, who nifkash od v'odim anashim bali tivim hefchemenu, he meets many people that are different than him. Kol mifkash masug hazeh bonoso, and every confrontation of this kind builds up the person. V'margish yeshvuayim sholosh la'achar shituv pulu imodim masug hazeh, person will feel after a couple of weeks being together with someone who's different than himself, lat latu maskel l'chavim, so slowly, slowly begin to like the person. Even though in the beginning it appeared anyone but him, I could get along with anybody but him, and then after a while you realize he's not such a bad person. But right now, when he starts, he begins to feel when he feels this opposition. So he begins to have a certain feeling of going away from that. And then slowly, slowly, the nature of love will conquer a little more and a little bit more. Okay. This is a type of work that takes a long time. Avoda Mitzricha Hispon is a work that needs a lot of reflection. Simas Leva, Druga Zahira, you have to really put a lot of heart into this and really have to be carefully moving ahead in it. Kim Adam Paul Bimihiros, because if we quickly want to go to one extreme, on one level he's going to recoil from this opposition. And he will return back and go back into his shell and not go out of it. Because if he, you know, goes too quickly into this, it'll be more than he could take. And he will not like the experience, and then he'll go back into the shell, not want to deal with opposites anymore. So, kasher adam bona es hadvarim betzura hadraga sis nechono, when a person builds himself up gradually, properly, hu bona olam shel ava pinimis lechol abriyuskum, he will build up a love, an inner love for all creatures in the world. Hu bona olam shel is achtus vis mazgus im kol nivrim kulam, he will build a world of unity and connection with everyone in the world. The goal of the whole creation is a world of connection. A world where the lion lives with the sheep. The wolf lives with the sheep. Where there isn't competition with each other, but natural unity. Not that we talk about a cold peace. A coexistence, at least achtus tivis pnimis benefshim kol habrius kol, but rather a natural inner unity when one soul is connected to everyone else. Okay, so that ended this chapter, which we worked on for a number of weeks, with the goal of really finding this way to connect with others, giving to others, and welcoming differences and people that we don't like with all the strategies that we did. Okay, now we start a new chapter, Perek Yud, and it's quite long. And now he goes back to a concept that we dealt with earlier in the book, but he now is going to look at it in a different way than we looked at it, and using it in a different way, it's going to cause us to require us to do a lot more thinking. So we're on Perek Yud. We're going to do quickly the overview, that the little summary, the synopsis of the main points of the book. He does every chapter a little bit. We're on English page 162, the Hebrew Kufpei Beis. And in the small print, he says the following. Tamtis HaProkim HaKodmim. What is the gist of the previous chapters? I don't know how we can do that, because we've been doing a lot, and I don't know these two paragraphs really do it. But it just gives enough what you need. What was the way we've been going until now? The purpose of this book is to reveal the true inner essence of the person. To identify the true person and also to separate yourself from the false illusion of who you think you are. The soul of the person, that is the real person. And his body is just a garment on top of himself. In order for a person to come to the recognition, the inner recognition of who he is, person has to pass the route of subjugation, separation, and sweetness, which we've talked about many times. Bishalav hachnav avdalav, the level of subjugation and separation, what happens there? Person separates himself, uporesh mera, and separates from the evil. He discriminates and says, this is not me. And we said, and there are times where he has to go into the world that's called the world of Levad, the world of alone, being alone by yourself. Sometimes you need to do that in order to separate from yourself the things that really aren't who you are. But that's only a temporary state. It's only a means to reach the level that we want to get to of bonding and being with other people. Once he builds in his own world through this separation and subjugation where he discards that which is really not himself, then he goes back and unifies with other people in this sweet work. That was the synopsis that's necessary for us to continue in this chapter. Okay. Oh, now he continues. Kamor, in yona shel avodas hamtaka, he's achdus in kol nivrim kulo. We've already said that the work of sweetness is bonding with everything in the created world. Amnam ein kavonas advarim shel adam lisachet im kol nivrim b'chol esu v'chol shah. Doesn't mean that a person has to be with everybody all the time. Yeshtam zmanim bohem ha'adam nimsa b'svivishu misachet ito. There are times when a person finds himself in an environment that he bonds with. There are certain natural times a person finds himself alone. In other words, there's nothing wrong with being alone. You don't have to be with people all the time. But beyond that concept of where the person geographically finds himself, if right now he happens to be with a group of people, he happens to be alone, but oimik pnimius never showed him in the depths of a person's soul, a kodesh baruch hu baro so im kochos hafchim. It's not just a question of where you are, but God has created within the person different strengths. Mechad koach habdidus, there's a strength and a power of being alone. Meyidah kosho chiber kosho his mazgus. On the other hand, there's a power of attachment and being with others. So it's not a question of, you know, right now I happen to be with people, and later on I'm going to be alone. But there's an existential concept of the force that's within a person that wants to be with other people, and the force within a person that wants to be alone, and those are important forces to have. He's going to explain. Henkoch habedidus venkoch hahismazgus. This power of being alone and being with others, it can reveal good things. When a person is alone, at times where it's beneficial to be alone, and also when he's together with people in the right time, that's a good combination. On the other hand, those very same qualities can be negatives. How? How about a time when he's supposed to be with people and he decides to be alone? When it's better to be with people. He's using the power of being alone in the wrong place. And the opposite. If a person will befriend wicked people, or connects with people at a time when he should be alone. He's using the power of being with people in an improper way. So you have to know when is a good time to be with people, when is a good time to be alone. You know, for example, when a man is praying, so that's a time where you have to be with people. You have to pray in a minyan. Person say, no, I pray better when I'm alone. Doesn't matter. The halacha says you have to be in a minyan. You have to be with other people. So that's a time where it would be inappropriate to say, I want to be alone. I think it'll be better for me to be alone. God says, no, that's the time you're supposed to be with people. On the other hand, and this is what Rav Soloveitchik mentions of blessed memory, when he explains the concept of a mechitza in davening. So it's very interesting. Even though I said you pray in a minyan, but on the other hand, there is a concept that when you are davening, when you are at the Shemona Esrei specifically, the silent Shemona Esrei, you are alone. Meaning to say, there's a group of people, right? But when you're saying you're silent Shemona Esrei, you are to be alone. The repetition, then you're with people. So he explains, for beyond all the other halachic reasons, he says, this is the reason why there's a concept of a mechitza that separates men and women. Because when you go to shul and you daven, and you're about to talk to Hashem, there has to be this point where you come to Hashem alone. Now, I know, the picture looks so nice, the father, the mother, the two little children, they all walk in to the prayer service together, and the family that prays together stays together. So we'll have to modify that statement a little bit. It should be modified. The family that comes to the synagogue together will stay together, but they don't pray together. Because the whole idea being when you're talking to Hashem, that moment of talking to Hashem, it has to be just you and Hashem. It has to be that moment of being alone. And when a husband and wife, especially if they like each other, so you're coming together. And when you're saying your Shemona Esrei, that's not a time to come together. There are times for you to be together. We're not against being together. It's a nice thing. But there has to be a time when a person is alone. And one of those times is when you say the Shemona Esrei. Even though I just said before, we pray in a quorum. There's one aspect of being with a group. But there is that aspect, even within the group, they have to have that time to be alone. And therefore, the mechitza provides a person the ability to be alone with Hashem. Because you have to talk to Hashem what your needs are. We don't come, when you're saying the private Shema Esrei, it's who you are. You and nobody else coming before Hashem. And therefore, you have a mechitza, and you have your wife, so your husband, you're thinking about them. And it's hard to separate that moment. We have to be alone talking to Hashem. You have to, so to speak, when you're davening Shemona Esrei, strip away your physicality and any other things that you have with anything else in this world when you talk about the Shemona Esrei. That's a unique moment to be levad, alone. And if you say, no, I don't want to be alone at that time, then that's a major problem. So you have to know when to be alone and when to be in a group. Okay, let's move on. So Kan, Magia Voda Ha'izun Hamuka, now comes the work of balancing this. You have to balance between the force of being alone in the soul and the force of connecting with people. You have to strike the right balance. Outwardly, it's clear to us. There are times when a person should be with others, and there's a time when a person should not be with others, doesn't need to be with others. To connect with good people. You shouldn't connect with bad people. That's superficial. That's true, but that's way too simplified. Those are just external factors. A person should have an inner sense within himself to know when to connect and when to focus on your inner self. As long as the person cannot recognize that world of being alone inside yourself, then there's no question of there's no issue of balancing. Ki enes ma lazein. There's nothing to balance. If a person doesn't even understand what it means to be alone, then we don't even understand what it means to balance these concepts. Kasher yesh lefaneinu shnei tzadim kotvim zelaze. When you have two sides that are vying with each other, right? Then nitzrich izum benefesh adam. You need to know how to balance them. Kasher yesh rak tzad achad. If you only have one side, ain't tzarich lazein. There's nothing to balance. Im kein comes out. Pikdeisha adam yitzarich izum. When for a person to need to balance. It for sure has to be revealed to the person what it means to be in the world of alone and what it means to be in the world of being with other people. Do we really understand what that world is? You'll see shortly he's going to explain what the dilemma is. In the last chapter, we talked about the world of connecting with people. And that was the last 5-6 weeks. If you look at Olam Shel Halavad, when we talk about being in the world of alone, we've used it earlier in the book as a tool to separate the things that aren't part of yourselves. It was used as a tool to remove the negative things of other people. But once a person removes the negative forces from within himself, from his actions, from his feelings, from his thoughts, and now he can connect with others. You have to develop a new world of being alone, not only as a tool to remove oneself from the negative. In other words, in the earlier part of the book, we were using the concept of being alone to get rid of all the negative identifications of who we are. And there were all kinds of exercises he gave us. You know, what I did bad, is that who I am, or it's what my garment is? And you say, you know, my garment is dirty, so I have to clean it, but that's not who I am, and I'm not bad. All that stuff was just, you do that alone, but you're trying to remove all the negative that you might think is part of you or of others. But he's saying, that's not the whole point of being alone. Let's say where you have a very positive situation. You still need to reveal the inner aspects of the person who's alone. The inner depths of being alone is a world of where a person is alone with his own soul. Who own la'atzma, it's a world by itself. It's not just a tool to remove the negative realities that exist in the world. So let me give you a little example of this. You know, there's a famous example when, after 22 years of separation, Yaakov and Yosef were reunited. Yaakov comes by wagon to Egypt. Yosef finds out that Yaakov is there. Yosef runs to be by his father. And what does the Torah tell us? I'll read the pasuk. Parshas Miketz. It's such a beautiful pasuk, but strange. Sorry, not Miketz, Vayigash. Vayigash. It says like that. I'm sorry? Yosef and Yaakov. When they met each other. So it says like this. Yosef went up to his father. Vayera alav, he appeared to him. Vayipol al tzavarav, he fell on his neck. Vayev al tzavaravo, and he continued to cry on his neck. So all the commentaries note what's unusual about this pasuk. Yosef's doing all the action. Yosef's falling on his father's neck. Yosef's crying. He's bawling his eyes out. We're getting no reaction from Yaakov. So all the commentaries discuss this, and the famous answer they give is that Yaakov did not fall on Yosef's neck. And a rabbi said, why? Because he was saying the Kriya Shema. He was saying the Shema prayer. So the question is, couldn't he found a better time to say the Shema? He hasn't seen his son in 22 years. Couldn't he find a better time to say the Shema? So he just happened to be davening and he couldn't be mafsik. He couldn't interrupt from saying the Shema. So the answer is that a person has to know, has to really, and you'll see this a little bit later on as he goes a little bit further in the book. But Yaakov understood that this moment was a moment that he was supposed to share with Hashem. Because he had had so many questions for the last 22 years. Why did Yosef, why was he missing, why did he die, and all these things. And now he's coming to a tremendous clarity in his life. And this is like one of the most amazing moments in his life. And the truth of the matter is, and there's nothing negative about this moment, it's an amazingly positive moment. And as much as Yosef, for Yosef, the right thing to do would be to be with his father. But for Yaakov, for the first few moments, the right thing to do is to be alone. Is to be alone. Because remember, Yosef, he knew his father was alive for the last 22 years. He was just, you know, wallowing in a dungeon in Egypt. He was the viceroy in Egypt. Okay, so Yosef kind of understood the course of events over the last 22 years. He kind of understood what all the parts and pieces of the puzzle meant as he went through all this. He may have had questions in the beginning, but after being the viceroy, he saw how he began to understand what God's ways were. And Yosef had a lot of time to be alone. He was really alone. He was alone for 22 years. So he developed it pretty good. Now that he's with his father and it's a mitzvah, he has a mitzvah of kibud avim, of honoring his father. So therefore, it's time to be with your father. That is the time to be with him. So that for his mitzvah is to be with his father. But the father who hadn't known for so long what was with Yosef, and always, you know, doubted if he was alive, and now they tell him he's alive, but how religious can he really be? Can you imagine what happens? Imagine if you were a nice Hasidic family and your son was kidnapped for 22 years and he was raised in Harlem. And you're going to see your kid after 22 years and you're going to say, yeah, he's fine, he's still a nice Jewish boy. You wonder, come on, how Hasidic can he be? Right? And then you see, no, he really is. He really is. It's amazing. So, you know what? For a moment, it's really time to be alone. And we'll see as we read on in the text that sometimes if you can know how to be alone, then you will know how to be together with people a lot better also. So Yaakov understood that this moment, this beautiful moment, for a few seconds, I really have to be alone. It's me and Hashem, and how can I be alone with Hashem? He's saying the Shema. Saying the Shema, because now I'm gonna really clarify within myself 22 years of misunderstanding between me and Hashem and me and my own understanding of life. So I've got to reevaluate that, because before I can reconnect with Yosef, I have to really understand and digest what these 22 years were all about. And that's what it means. It's a time to be alone. And then and then one pasuk later, then Yaakov speaks to Yosef. It's not like he's never gonna speak to him. But whatever it was, a minute, he said, this minute, even though my son is with me, but existentially, I have to be alone right now. This is way too overwhelming. What I'm going to say to him isn't going to be real, isn't going to be me, until I digest who the real me is. He says the Shema, he understands, you know, Hashem, I really understand it all. It all fits into place now. And I thank you for that, Hashem. And then he turns to the son and says, now if I die, it's okay. Because now I've seen you. And then he's ready to turn to his son. So you have to know. And that's in the balancing act. Yaakov understood. He understood what it meant to be in his own world. And that's what the Tzad is going to explain in the next few pages. What this value is and why it is so important. And if you don't have this, how much mistakes you can make in your relationships with people. And that's what this chapter is going to deal with at great length. So let's move a little bit ahead and see how he develops this idea. Okay, we're at the bottom of Kuf Pei Gimel, and I believe in English we should be on 164, right? Okay, Be'olam Bechlol, in the world in general, Ubedor Akum Befrat, especially in this last generation, Hamusik Shalalavad Kimat Nishkach Lechalutin, This concept of being alone is like almost totally forgotten. Ha'adam mukav kol hazman heim ba'anoshim heim b'chli takshores. Person surrounded all day long, either with people or with machines that connect you with people. B'tzuras chibur shonos u'mishunos shemischachos midiyom. With different forms of connecting people, that you get new ways of doing that daily. Adam achavitz be'emes, right? I mean, I don't have to explain this. It's pretty clear, right? This is the sickness, right? You go to any simcha, you go anywhere, you go to classes, you go anywhere. Everybody's got their little thing. Who's sending me emails? Texting people. Maybe someone is sending me a message. Let's check what's going on the internet. Maybe something interesting is going on. You know, it's nobody even knows what it means to be alone anymore. And frankly, people are frightened to be alone. They're frightened to be alone. And the truth is, it's an amazingly beautiful thing for part of your life. So we've never had a chance. Ask a person in the day, how much time have you spent being with yourself? Right? You know, think about it. You know, whoever's in the room, just think. From when you woke up this morning till now, have you had a few minutes just to be with yourself? I mean, with yourself. I mean, not with the television running, not with an electrical gadget in your hand, not in front of a computer where the emails can come any second. Just to, you know, maybe if you were driving and you had nothing on in the car, and just think, right? Have you had the time to do that today? Will you have time to do it? Had you have time? Now we're going to see what kind of thinking we're talking about. Not just any old thinking. So this is almost a lost art. People don't even understand what this is. And this has terrible consequences on relationships. Terrible consequences, as will be explained. If a person really, truly wants to recognize his own soul, as Ania Mitisho, the true I, even if he tries all his life to connect to others, even his relationships with others is positive. Chibur shel anoka, chibur shel nesina, a relationship of giving. A person is with other people and he gives. Adayin yasher nevuv mitocho. He is really remains inwardly empty. Reik mikol tochen. He's missing any content. I mean, people who give all day can still be missing in content in what's inside themselves. From the top of kuf pei dalet. Very top. It would appear, what do you mean? I'm giving all day long. We both are alive from morning to night. He's doing good things for other people. Well, no, he doesn't rest a second. Everything he does is to help. What's this compared to? Look at the analogy. Let's say a person wants to help other people with money. I want to give people money. I want to help them with money. But if he's poor, what can he give? Can a poor man help other people and give them money? He wants to give, but he hasn't got any money. You know why? He never bothered to get a job. He's watching television all day. But I really want to help everybody. Well, that's good. You want to help everybody all day long. But if you don't have any money, you can't help them. The more money you have, you can give more. Right? That's the analogy. How does he play this into real life? So, Kashem Shadover Omer Be'osher Gashmi, just like this is said by physical wealth, Sheromas Anasina Shal Adam Nindedes Lufi Yechota Kalkalis, that the ability to give, the level of giving is measured by one's ability to support oneself and make money, by one's financial status, Lufi Hon Ha'atzmi Shal, his own personal wealth. So it is in spiritual giving. The giving flows according to the inner wealth that's in the soul of a person. Kikol Shah Adam Panimi Yoser. The more that a person is more deep, the deeper a person is into himself, Nesinasa Yoser Nesina, his giving is more of a giving. But a person doesn't comprehend his self as himself. Aimless Mala says he has nothing to give. Perhaps you can give people money, you can give them food, give them advice. But he can't give anyone his essential being because he doesn't even know what it is himself. The true I is hidden from himself. Since that soul, so if he doesn't know who himself is, so this situation of his giving never really comes from who he is. Anything that's not revealed to a person is not able to give to others. Now, do you understand what he means over here? There's somebody saying, he's saying, what's the real connection that people have with people? What's the real giving? What if you're married? Okay, ladies understand this better than men. What does a woman really want from a man? Does she really want the money from the man? Is that what she really wants? What?
Appreciation.
Is it even just appreciation? What's even more than that? She wants the man to talk. Right. Not just the time. Something much deeper. You know, this is a much deeper concept than what we talk about in shul. She wants emotional intimacy. Right? Emotional intimacy that wants the husband to give who he is to her. To say, this is who I am and I share who I am with you. Not what I do with you, what I give to you, but to share my thoughts, to share my feelings. And that when I give something to you, it's not just the thing that's coming with you, but I'm coming with it. Do you understand? It's sometimes the words on a beautifully written card. Right? Guy can give a woman, you know, they say diamonds are a girl's best friend. Not a Jewish girl's best friend. It's the card. It's the who the husband is that comes out, the expressiveness of who he is and describes what you are to him and what he's feeling. Right? That's what the woman really wants. Now guys are so clueless to this, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. You know, the guy will say, what do you want? We've been, you know, a husband and wife, they can go for a walk. You ever watch husbands and wives go for walks? You know, it's either usually two of three scenarios. Either they're both walking, they don't talk to each other at all. Or the wife does 95% of the talking and the husband listens. Right? Not because women talk so much, although they were given 9 out of the 10 parts of language. That's not a negative thing. It's not a negative thing. But it's because guys just don't know what to say. They don't know what to say.
They're waiting for the woman to say. And then they respond.
Yeah, no, but they go, yeah.
This is
wife will talk for 20 minutes.
And this is not a response.
Husband will say, yep. You know, that's about it. They have trouble with this. They have lots of trouble with this. So that's, you know, anybody can give this woman money. Anyone can give her a ring. But you're not really you're giving her something. I'm not saying you're not giving her something, but you're giving something that's external to you. You're not giving her yourself. You know, and that really is so important. And obviously that is your time. Obviously part of that is your time, but even the time together may not be the real, this is the real quality time we're talking about. The real quality, not just the, you know, making a Lego together or, you know, whatever. But sharing who you are with that person. You know, what your real deepest feelings are. That's what a person really wants. That's how do you have friendships? What kind of friendships do you have with people? Right? You have friendships of utilitarian mutual needs. We're friends because we both carpool together. You know,
and it's called friendship with benefits.
That's right. So that's not really friendship. That's, you know, that's just an accommodation. But somebody to sit down and really say what's on their mind. Right? So now, the reason why a lot of men don't do that is because they don't know what's on their mind. And the truth is, it's unfortunately, women are starting to become that way. They're losing that. Many women, they also don't know what they're thinking. You know, the ones that are losing touch with who and what they are.
Can I ask this?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. He's going to talk about it in the whole chapter. This is what the whole chapter is all about.
What was the question?
How does being alone develop this? So that's what the chapter is going to talk about. That's what the chapter is going to talk about.
You know yourself.
You know, and that's what the name of the book is. Das Eskola. Know yourself.
Second.
Right? And most people don't know themselves. They don't know themselves. How many people really know their faults? You know, a lot do not know their faults. They minimize them. They don't really understand. And if you would suggest to them what their faults are, they're going to get very angry at you. A person who really knows himself, really understands what his faults are. You know, and a person, you know, and then when you know what your faults are and you try to overcome them, and then you're giving of yourself to the other person and they understand that you're giving in spite of the faults that you have, then they're receiving so much more. Right? You understand what he's trying to say over here? You want to give yourself to the other person, not what you have, but what you are to the other person. That's real bonding with other people. You can't do that if you don't know who you are. You don't even know, you know, it's the Cyrano de Bergerac story. The guy didn't know how to express his love to the girl, so somebody wrote the lines for him. Right? That's what he's talking about over here. So now he asks the question. So Ilan is sino haisa tachlus atzmo. Because if giving alone, now we've talked a lot about this year, a lot about the idea of giving. It's important to be a giver. But I don't think what the tzaddik is saying here is not everybody knows what it is that they're supposed to give. So if giving was the goal in and of itself, Hayinomer will say, what does it matter from where you give? Shurach Rona, the bottom line is, Laploni HaYachaser, Hu Hishlum HaSachaser. So-and-so is missing something, gave him what he needed. That's it. A poor man comes to the door, he needs money, I gave him the money, finished. What are you mixing in other stuff? I gave him what he needed. Finished. What does it matter? Abu Machmash Shihisbar Barucha Shanasina Hibaetsam Talich Shall His Dachusu Bitl Rasan Kabul. But as we've explained in the last chapter at great length, that giving is just a tool to purify oneself and to nullify his desire to be a receiver. That's what it's there for, to stop being a taker. That's what giving is mainly to stop being a taker, to allow the inherent magnetism of people to connect with each other. But it really does, more what it does, just removes the negative. So the giving, the real giving, the goal of the real giving is giving over the essential person. And the desire to remove those parts of taking that is in the person. So that is really what the deeper concept he's saying over here is. It's not just a question of supplying people with things. It's feeling that deep connection with another person. So now, so how does a person reveal that I to himself, of which he can now give to others? So that's the idea. A poor man can't give other people anything. If a person is impoverished in his own understanding of who he is, he can't give it to anybody else. So, rak benekudas hasheket, only from the point of silence, benekudas halavad, from the point of being alone, Shama Adamotse Asansa, that's when you can find yourself. It's not guaranteed, but you at least have a chance. If you're not giving yourself time to be alone with yourself, solitude, you'll never find out who you are. If you don't know who you are, you can't give it to anybody else. The person hasn't found himself. He can't really nullify completely that desire to take. He can't really build the deeper desire to give. What can you compare this to? Somebody buying a piece of clothing for a child that wasn't born yet. There's nobody to dress up. You go to the store, you buy a nice baby outfit, and there's no baby. So who are you going to give clothing to? Rakashar Adam Gila Esani Kani. When the person reveals the eye is the eye. Then the inner service evolves from the essence of the inner person that's there, and that's what's coming out of there. So we talk about connecting with people. You should know that that connection will never be complete until there first exists within the person a clear revelation of exposure of who he is himself. Angels we're not suggesting, okay, until I find myself, I'm not gonna talk to anybody. No, we're not saying that. But the depths of connecting with other people will only happen only when the person reveals the true person that he has, the power of what's inside himself. So then he can really connect with other people. Because he does that from really understanding who he is. Which is... where are we up to in the English? 165 at the bottom. Okay, now, let's going to talk about the external way to bring it out. And then we'll try to get into the internal, see how much we can get done today. So he says, Gila ani apnimi shel adam mitzrich sha sheket bayom. To reveal the inner essence of the person, you first need some time of silence in the day. Yes, okay, and more than that, harbe yosim yishasa sheket, more than just quiet, a life that's built with a grasp and understanding of what silence is worth. It's not enough to just have some silent time, but we have to really have a whole understanding and base our life in knowing that it is incredibly important. Now I'm just going to grab 5 minutes and force myself to be quiet. It's a really important state of your life that you look forward to and that you constantly are involved with. You have to have that appreciation of what it's all about. The noisy lifestyle that we all recognize today, it can afford many opportunities of giving. But they don't enable a person to create a true revelation of the inner eye that's inside the person. When we talk about revealing the eye, we're not talking about just momentarily revealing it. We're talking about revealing a grasp of life that impacts on a person and acts always from a quiet state. In other words, we want everything you do to come out of that. You want to have almost develop a continuously quiet state, where you're totally always in touch with who you are. And it's from that point of reference you deal with others. You know, it's not that, okay, I'm with people all day long, I'll spend 5 minutes being alone. It's great. No, even when you're with others, it's coming from a framework of from being alone. Being alone means you know who you are. So I know who I am when I start talking to other people. You know, if you don't know who you are and you have insecurities and all these other things, so then you're not, the real you isn't coming across to the other person. Mm-hmm. And the givings that you're doing isn't the real giving of who you really are. And you have to deal with a lot of the issues that you have in your life. And now when you are and you really know who you are, then the real you is what's dealing with other people. So it's a whole Weltanschauung of always dealing from a place of calm, of inner understanding of who you are. It's you who is interacting with other people, not what, who you're copying, is what you're interacting with other people. It's a phony persona that's interacting. That's what the, all this Facebook stuff is all, that's all about. People create phony personas. They're not really who they are, but who you are is something, because they don't know who they are. They have no time to interview themselves. It's almost what you have to do. You have to interview. How do you know who anybody is? You make an interview. You have to interview yourself. There are obviously outward aspects and inner aspects. Let's start with the outer aspects. It's always easier. Somebody asks you a question, you gotta give an answer. Usually a person answers right away. He doesn't think very much. We're not talking about when somebody asks you what time it is. He looks at the clock and says, it's 8:24. We're not talking about that. They can always answer right away. But really people ask him a little bit deeper question. He answers right away. This one is a problem. Lumasos, on the other hand, the others who hear a question, they enter a certain high level of area of thinking, and he answers from a much deeper, clarified position to what was asked from him. So, Adam Shalochai, Oilam Shalavad, a person who never is alive in the world of being alone. So, Ateva Shalo, Leos Vimar Lahashiv, the nature is to respond quickly. Bliharbi Machshav, without a lot of thinking. Hulo Makir Oilam Shal Machshav Amitis, he doesn't recognize a world of true thinking. Humishtamish Bimachshav Torak Bofanim Yisyamim, he only uses his brains in certain scenarios. For example, you know, let's say when you have to deal with buying things, and let's say you're buying a car, and there's certain percentages you have to pay in terms of financing. So yeah, we'll think of some numbers. Okay, the car costs $40,000. It's 2.9% financing. He calculates what the interest in his mind is. He calculates what this. So he says, "Oh, see, I'm thinking." So we're not talking about that kind of thinking. Not talking about that. Ozu bode kama chuse ribis hu yishalim al ha overdraft the bank. He figures how much money I'm going to have to pay in the overdraft. Right? Umachle das amivtsim yishalim lo, and he figures how much he's got to pay. Karma zebeloshim brura. What is that really, what you're doing? Hanholas cheshbonas tova. It's a very good calculations you can make. That's not really thinking. Right, your brain might be working, but that's not what we're talking about thinking over here. You want to buy a car? Yes. Okay, you don't say yes. Let me figure out what it's going to cost. Okay, see, I was thinking. I thought for half an hour to make the calculations. Can I afford it? Can I not afford it? That's not the thinking we're talking about over here. Right? You got to really think, you know, you think during the day. You talk to your children. You talk to your family. Do you really say anything besides factual information? You know, this is what happened at work today. Did you pick up the carpool? Did you this? Most interactions are very factual. And even what we're thinking about, it's like thinking, you know, do you have time? Do you think you'll have time to do this? Well, I have to, let me figure out, will I have time? I'm going here, I'm going there. Yeah, maybe I'll have time, maybe I won't have time. This is all talk that's, I'm not saying it's not important talk. You have to say this kind of talk. But it's not really any kind of talk that needs any thought of who we are.
It's external.
Thinking is contemplating, probing. It's not a concept of, you know, just getting information. Of calculations, that's not what it is. Even though calculating and coming up with information does open up the intellect a little bit, that's only the external part of the brain. But the deeper part is really this inner analysis of everything. The work that you need to acquire the world of alone. To get into that world. To get into that world of being alone. Murkevas michitzonius upnimus. It's a combination of external and internal. Meaning to say, chitzonius externally umuchruch limtzoliatzu shoshal sheket. You gotta find some hours where it's quiet. That's the external thing. You can't be next to a loud orchestra amongst 100 people that are screaming. You're not going to find that kind of quiet you're looking for. So you obviously have to have external quiet. Next page. But to build a structure of silence in the soul, muchruch adam limtzos atzmo bismanim mesuyim mevudad sheket porush mehavios ha'olam haroshim. Person has to find himself in certain times where he's alone, quiet, separated from all the noise that's going on in the world. The first step is you got to have quiet. If you don't have any quiet in the day, forget it. Okay, now it's got the quiet. Now we go to the next step. The inner tool is a person who really contemplates. Think through something. The most destructive force in the world is a lack of thinking. Lack of contemplating is the most destructive force. People just get trained to do what they're used to doing. That's the most destructive thing in the world. Let's give a simple example of what this inner thinking is all about. Anybody's in the room here. Everybody had went to sleep last night. And the morning you got up. If you didn't get up this morning, you wouldn't be here at the class tonight. Did anybody in this room think about why you got up this morning? You think about that? Ulai lo, maybe no. Ulai yeshmed, maybe, why didn't you just stay in bed all day? Why did you get out of bed? Well, no, chum bederach klal hakimanovas milachas plimi. Well, you could say it's true, you know, that you got up because there was this inner pressure. Shachli giyab isman lavodi, you gotta be on time for work. Gotta be on time for davening. Okay, so that's why I got up in a, but that's an external reason. But how about on a Shabbos morning? Or how about on a Sunday morning? But what if a person has no real reason that he has to get up? Haisha hochal im koma. Let's say your husband went to his place. The kids went to their place. Everyone's in their place. Everything's okay. Why do you got to get up? How'd you get up today? That's a good, for men it's a little hard, this question, because I always got to get up for davening. But women don't have to go to shul. Right? So why do you get up on a Sunday morning? Yeah, you're not going to work. You're not going to davening.
It's boring.
So he's going to talk about that. Generally, people don't think what. I never thought about that. I never thought about that. Who pashut come? I just get up. If the guy thinks a little bit, because you get bored, like you said, you get bored in bed. It's boring to be in bed, so I got up because I get bored. I'm not going to say that this is the most correct conclusion. But at least the guy's thinking why he's getting up. He's at least beginning to start to think about why he's doing what he's doing. Well, I got up because it'd be boring to keep sitting in bed. The goal of this is not just to examine your ways. It's not a question of which you should do, which one you shouldn't do. That's a good thing also. I'm not saying not. But the essential thing that a person gets used to and accustomed to contemplating what happens to him, that opens up a very significant place of thought inside the person to begin to contemplate why are things happening. Why do I do certain things? In order to begin to reach the inner eye of the person, you've got to be an inner person, a thoughtful person, a person who contemplates. As long as you live without thinking, without reflecting and contemplating, so you're naturally just looking outside. You're not looking inside. So now, we don't mean to say that thinking is the inner point of the person. The fact that you're thinking, that's not the inner point of the person. Thinking is the tool, is the force that can bring the person to enter inside who he is and to reveal who he is. Thinking is the tool to get out what's inside of you. So thinking alone isn't going to do it. It's got to be a guided thinking. Move of his farm, it's written in the books. Shechad Hashem Shal Neshama Hu Sechel. One of the names for a soul is called Sechel. It's called Sechel. Ain't a kavano Sechel Shenachman Akirim Besfasa Rechob. It's not Sechel that we say on the street, oh, he's smart. He's got Sechel, he's sharp, he says, that's what it means. El Sechel Pnim Ruchani, it's an inner spiritual intellect. Haneshama Hi, next page. Mitzias iunim. The neshama, the soul really, its essence is to delve into truths. Kechol shadam rachuk miyun. The degree that a person is far away from delving into the truth, meisponus, makshava, from reflecting and thinking, who knows the lepulus kusanis, he'll naturally be inclined to just do superficial things. Atheim pulus elohim chiyum. Even they're positive things, but it's going to be superficial. Kepulus shel hanaka kadoma, like giving. Veloma galas at some ani doesn't reveal the real I. Nimtzeinu lemeidim efas. What do we learn from this? Bigtele galas at some ani. In order to reveal the essence of the I, mucher chadam reishis kol lihispodei bismanim yisum is mehachevra l'shevasimah. So number one, you got to have times where you're alone. Ubenos lekach. In addition, lishrag lispoinim b'chaim, to get used to reflecting on life, lachshov, to think. Okay, so he's going to give an example. Okay, we have to give some examples, because without the examples, it's very hard to understand. So we can skip the next couple paragraphs, the small ones. Let's get to the example. L'dugma, for example. L'fnei kishona ha'isa b'chama v'ratzevi kadosha. A year ago, the book was written a few years ago, he's referring to the war in Lebanon, in Israel. Z'usha ha'isa b'chama kula yodim. Everyone knows about that war. Hashela eich kol echad rav yistakala. Question is, how does everybody look at that war? How do people, what do you talk about when you talk about that war? What do you think about when you think about that war? Hadam ashitchi, superficial person, miyad don ha'im rosh ha'memshal ha'armatkal, osar bitochan hashmi. Most people, they say, okay, who was guilty for what went wrong? Was the prime minister? Was the chief of staff? That's the first thing people think about that war. He thinks that way because that was within the headlines of the newspaper. Newspaper was telling you how to think. He doesn't think more than that. The newspaper gives him the path of which way to think. Who's guilty? Should he have gone to war or not? Should they have stopped or not in the middle? How much should we invest to get the captives back or not? Is it morally correct or not? Now, you're not gonna say the person wasn't thinking. Sure he was, but it's all superficial stuff. It's just thinking, you know, what the newspapers are telling you to think. That is a superficial way of living your life. But a person who lives with depth, when there's a war in the world, he reflects about the war itself. Let's give a few examples. I don't mean these are the only things you should be thinking about. I'm trying to give you some ideas to open up to a deeper kind of thinking process. A person has to think based on what your soul would be thinking. So based on the unique, special soul that you have. Just like people's faces are different, the way they think is different. And there's no way people could think the same way. Let's go to the next paragraph. But in order to just open up a change of how we look at things, everyone has to begin to open up his own originality. Some people come up with new ideas because they're forced to, because they have deadlines that force them to come up with new ideas. As he writes what he wrote yesterday, it's boring. Some people who are going to write new ideas, not because that's what they're thinking about, but they have to. A newspaper writer is coming with a new idea. Not necessarily what he's thinking, but I got to come up with something new. That's not what he's talking about. A person who's an original thinker thinks from within himself of what he thinks. And here's the example. Ludugma. Here's there's a war. First of all, he spends a moment to expunge all the external stuff that he's thinking about. It's all the external information he got. He has to think, what is this war really causing? There are those people who lost their lives, and there's those who've been injured. There are those who have lost their profession completely. We've a certain job. And because one on the war, he lost his total ability to make a job. All that part of the economy is out. There's others who their livings, they're making a living, hasn't been totally lost. But it's hard. They're those who have fears now from this war. Shock, trauma that they can't overcome. This war has given people thoughts to get divorced. There's other people who they've got so much pain. Because they've been trying to help so many people who have been suffering. When they hear other people are suffering, they open up their house to help other guests. Isn't that a whole different way of looking at that war? Uh-huh. Right? In other words, what are you feeling about this war? When you're thinking about the war, this is not the only way to think about it. This is not what the newspapers are telling you how to think. What are you thinking about the war? That's the real you is now coming out about what your feelings are from what is happening in this war. If you take anything that happens in the world, be patechos and develop it. You can develop all kinds of things that come out of that. The Yishalana person is going to ask, "My Yosli Malchshava, so what does this help to think this stuff? Stam lachshov, stam lanateach. Matzos b'se. Just to think, just to analyze. What do you get from that?" He says, "Hatoel's bru ma'od. It's a very clear benefit. Adam tzarach lisraga lirais tvarim b'mabat hanachon. He has to begin to get used to looking at things from a correct vantage point. Geish adam yuchol lekabel mabat nachon al dvarim." In order to develop a proper way of looking at things, you got to practice and learn to look at the world and look at it in so many different ways, in so many different levels. Analyze. Anashim karm iton. People read a newspaper. Since the headlines catch one point, everybody talks about it all day long. He's going on the public discussion world. But nobody sees anything else. Mm-hmm. And that's where newspapers, they shape opinion.
No,
because that's the way they look at it.
No, and they focus on one thing that...
They focus on what will sell more newspapers. That's all. But that doesn't mean you have to think that way. You take a situation, analyze it yourself. You are revealing the strength that's inside of you. That's the real seichel, the real ability to contemplate that's inside of you. You've developed it. Information, if you just get information from others, and he also accepts a way to think from others, he's destroyed his own self. He's a programmed person. People around him have programmed him how to think. Public opinion is so strong it almost hinders anybody else from ever thinking. First of all, just stop and think. He wonders, how come I never thought about this before? But the truth is, it's not a wonder. Because in the beginning, a person doesn't really have the right overall way of looking at it. He only picks up things that are superficial. And you just live what's on the top. That's how you live. You don't go any deeper than that. So this is the first step. He's got a lot more to tell us about this. But what he is saying is, if we really want to connect with other people in the deepest way, we have to know who we really are. And you can't really know who you are until you start thinking and contemplating about everything and anything in this world. You have to train yourself to not accept that which you see superficially. And then when you are thinking and analyzing and you're using your own unique way of thinking at things, then you can start using it on yourself. And you can look at how you are reacting and how you are impacted by things that are going on. And now you've trained yourself to not just look at things and to let them go by, but to look at them and say, what's really behind that? And then you're going to look at yourself and look what's really behind you. And then when you're prepared to give of yourself, you're not just giving superficially, you are giving totally of what you are. You know, a person like that finds people telling them information usually obnoxious. If you listen to what most people talk about most of the day, it's totally obnoxious. They're just parroting, you go to work and what people say, did you see the television show last night? And what they do is just repeat over what they saw. Wasn't that funny?
That's your opinion.
No, if you listen carefully, they just want to tell you what they saw. That was funny, wasn't it? Yeah, it was funny, yeah. But there's nothing to say. There's nothing really to say. And if you'd ask the guy, why do you watch that show? They wouldn't know what to answer. You know, that's a whole different way of looking at things, right? People just, they have to show, well, I know all this information. Just, I know this, I know that, and you see how much information you know. But what do you know about it? What's your opinion about it? What are you thinking about it? Can you share your feelings about it? People don't even understand what that is. That's the way we communicate now is so conducive to not going deeply. If you Twitter, where you only can put so many words on a message, what can you say besides just some facts? As opposed to what you're really thinking and feeling. So to be able to share who you are, you have to be able to think deeply into what you are. So you need the quiet and you need the ability to reflect. And that's what he's going to go through the next time we get together, which is not going to be for a few weeks. I think people are getting a little bit ready for Pesach. So, and I can see by the attendance is dwindling, that usually is a sign that people are thinking more about Pesach, as they should. And so we will resume about a week after Pesach. Okay, and we'll continue with this. And I'm not sure, I don't know if Wednesday was a good night to switch. Maybe we'll go back to Tuesday. I don't know, does either night make a difference to anybody?
Not really.
Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday. Okay, I'll see. We'll let you know. You'll know well enough. But
so next week we don't have a class.
Next week you don't have a class. And the following week there's going to be a few Pesach classes.
Do you have a minute for a question?
I really can't because I'm already 15 minutes late for the other class. So I'm sorry.